in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He's done with the temple, and they're dedicating it back, and they're coming to a place where they can come. It's a place where God's found rest. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a place where God has found rest. And he said, that's where I'm going to meet with my people there. And that's why he said, if my people, when you assemble together and we come together, there is something that happens that only happens when we come together as a group of believers. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Bible says, a three cord is not easily broken. If two will bind it and touch it, it shall be. You see what I'm saying? There's something about unity, and tonight, the fellowship inside this church is so sweet tonight. People stand around the room and tell how good God is, how great God is, and what God has did in their life. And tonight, what I want to look at, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and when God says, if my people which are called by my name, that's what I want to look at. There's four areas there, or there's four commands that must happen for us to be able to bind things down and for God to have his way in our life, okay? It's not a suggestion, right? It's not a suggestion. It's not a if you want to, but it's a command. Now, the grace movement, I'm all for grace. I preach grace. I believe grace. I believe for by grace are you saved through faith. I believe all that. But listen to me tonight when I say this. Now, I don't want to get confused here. I believe tonight, even though we live by grace, we're saved by grace, and we're going to make it to heaven by grace tonight, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe tonight a true born-again child of God still knows that they have commands in their life that they must do on a daily basis, not weekly, but a daily basis. And as we come here tonight, I want to show you these four commands. When that prodigal son this morning, when he came back to the father, you know what? Whatever the father told him to do, he did it, I guarantee. Don't you? He done been in the pig pen. He done knew what it was to be in all that mess. And he said, I'm home now. I'm back to where I need to be. So now tell me what I need to do. And I don't know about you tonight, but there's four commands in the Word tonight that I want to share with you that's written here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 14. And as we turn there, I'm not even there yet tonight. Let me get there. It won't take but about 30 minutes. I'll be there. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. I ask you to stand. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's the saved, shall humble themselves, that's number one, and pray, there's your number two command, and seek my face, there's your number three command, and turn from their wicked ways, as your fourth command. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night that we've come out to your house. I know the weather's bad. I know all kind of things are going on in the world we live in, but I can't think of a better place to be than in your house. Better than any funeral home I've ever been to. Father, it's better than anything I've ever been to come to your house. I thank you for it. And Lord God, just the unity with the brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, I pray you take this word, and I pray when we go out this week, we see these commands, we live them out in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Be with Hayden and Kenzie and baby Landry. Tonight, I ask that tonight, everyone that's sick tonight, I lift them up to you. Watch over them, and we pray it tonight in Jesus' name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. In 2 Chronicles, we come here in 7:14, and there are four commands that must be kept for the blessings of the Lord to flow in a believer's life or in a nation. For them blessings to flow in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But here's the only problem with a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, you know what it can do? It can crawl on the altar and it can crawl off the altar. A living sacrifice, it's life. You got life that's going on. And if we're not careful as born-again believers, we get to a place where we start doing other things that's contrary to what God's called us to do. And we don't do as God calls us to do sometimes. And we call it backsliding, lukewarm, not being where we need to be, not being excited, but I want you to know tonight, all that is this, being out of the will of God. That's point blank. It's just being out of the will of God. And we must turn back to that way that God has called us to do. And there's four commands he gives us in the text tonight. And I want to look at all four of them. Number one tonight, I want to look at, they shall humble themselves. To humble oneself tonight would be this. That would be to lower oneself. That would be to lower yourself to a place of humility where God can use you and get back to where you used to be for God. Tonight, I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight, but I always like to talk to you just like I would anybody else tonight, because there's some people that used to be part of the choir that may not be no more. Can I get a witness? But tonight, I want you to get this. He said that they shall humble themselves. If they shall come to that place that they humble themselves. And I want to take you here over to the book of James tonight, and I want to look at humbling ourselves. He says in James chapter number 4, as you're making your way there, he says that we shall humble ourselves. I want you to know tonight, when we get to the place that we humble ourselves, we humble ourselves under what? We don't humble ourselves under the preacher. We don't humble ourselves under other things. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we let God use us in a way that would be pleasing to him. Tonight you say, preacher, why must I humble myself? What good's that going to do for me to humble myself? Well, I know this, pride goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before a fall. So I know this tonight, that if I be humble in what I do and what I say, I'll understand it. As we got home this evening and I got in from the funeral, I got in and my wife was sitting on the couch and she gave me that look. Y'all know the look, husbands. And I said, go ahead and say it. She said, you know I was going to get you. I said, go ahead. I know what it's about. Go ahead and get you. She said, we're not dumb in that congregation. I said, yeah, I understand. I know. She said, you ain't got to say. You'll understand it when you get home. Said, we understood it when you said it. Now, I could have argued the point with her, but you know what I did? I humbled myself down because I knew I was wrong in speaking that this morning. You'll get it, and I'll get it when God gives it to us. Amen? And I understand that tonight. And when she told me that, thank God for a wife that'll set you in straight. Amen? Hey, we all need people like that in our life to keep us humble under the mighty hand of God. You see, she didn't come to me in a way of arrogance or none of that. She come to me in a way that I realize in my life that it's going to help me down the road. And I understand that tonight, but look what he says tonight in James chapter number 4 and verse number 10. I love this tonight, what he says. We're talking about when the Lord says, humble thyself. Look what he says tonight in James 4:10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Tonight, if you're in a valley or you're in a place in your life and you need a raising up, you need a fresh anointing, you need a new touch, and church has done got tired, religion's done got tired, the things you do for God's done got tired and wearisome. Tonight, you know what? If I would humble myself under the mighty hand of God here, he's going to lift me up in my life. I love that tonight in James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. But look what he says in James 4:6. He says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Tonight, when we live in that humble state, we see the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all over our life. Have you ever been to a place in your life, and I have, I wanted to get the last word. I wanted to get the last word no matter what it was. I wanted to give the last word. I wanted to say the last word. I couldn't let nothing lie. I couldn't let nothing go. But you know what? I've learned something in my life as I've got on in the ministry and I've got on into my salvation is this, that God has saved me, is this. I don't always have to have the last word. I don't always have to be right, but I must always make sure I'm in a humble place in my life. Because if I want God to do something in my life, I must humble myself. I don't believe that God will do anything with a prideful person, but I believe he'll do everything with one that is humble. One that is humble and does not care to do whatever God's called him to do, no matter how small the task or that we think it is. God's put us in that task for a reason in our life. He says tonight, if you want that blessings to flow, number one, tonight we shall humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I think about that tonight in 2 Kings chapter number 5. And you remember Naaman, how Naaman was the leper. It said in Naaman chapter 5 and verse number 1 that Naaman, man, he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. He was a warrior. But it said in the last of that verse, verse, he said that Naaman was a leper. And you know what happened when he came to that place and he wanted to be cleansed and he wanted to be healed? And they told him, they said, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And he wouldn't do it at first. And you know what? Because he wasn't humble. He was prideful. He said, I can go to these other 2 rivers and I can dunk in there. He said, it won't work. God's told you to do it this way and you must go to the Jordan and you must. And he said, the Jordan's filthy. The Jordan's nasty. But you know what? Tonight, that was God's will on his life. And you know what happened when he went and he dipped in the Jordan? He came out and he was cleansed of his leprosy. And if you look in the Bible in Luke chapter number 4 and you go down through there after the Lord has come out in the Spirit of the Lord and he's come out and he's took the book and he said, I preach captive those that are in captive free to the broken spirit. I give them liberty. If you read on down through there, it talks about Naaman being the only one in the Old Testament that was healed and cleansed of leprosy. My friends, I want you to know tonight, he ain't the only one tonight that had leprosy, but he was the one that done it the way God had told him to do it. He got under the humbleness of God and he got under the mighty hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says tonight, we shall humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God tonight. You know what? You see, preacher, I sure don't want to humble myself. I sure don't want to get to that place. But you know what I've learned in my life? If I don't, he will. If I don't humble, he will humble me. And look at this tonight. I want to go to this next part. He says, the 4 commands to have them blessings to flow. 4 commands to have them blessings flow. 1 was he shall humble himself. And I want to share this before we go any further. We got plenty of time, right? It's supposed to be snowing. We can't go get nothing anyway. I'm going to tell you what humbling does. Let me tell you what humbling does, okay? I had that funeral today, Mr. Willie's, okay? I've done told y'all the story about the 3-wheeler getting stolen and I couldn't give it to him. I went into Jackrabbit Slims, asked him to forgive me, and gave him a pocket cross, correct? Not a one person in his family knew nothing about that. Not one person in his family knew nothing about that, but I did. On Facebook, the little grandchild, he's sitting there in his wheelchair, little grandchild playing with the necklace, wanting to know what is that, and the whole time that pocket cross flipping around, doing all kinds of things, I'm thinking, whew, that cost me something. It cost me to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. That day at Jackrabbit Slim's, when I walked to where that man was in front of all them other men, I got down on my knees, you listen to me, I did not want to do that. I'll be the first to admit you, I'm a little bit prideful. Stubborn-headed, hard-headed. Can I get a witness in the house? Most of us men are. I did not want to get on my knees in front of them other men and ask this man to forgive me. But as I would push that door to go out that Jackrabbit Slim, the Holy Ghost, now I'm telling you, you can override the Holy Ghost. You can. Don't let me tell you, you cannot override the Holy Ghost, because you can if you want to. You can override him and not do nothing he tells you to do. You'll be miserable, but you can do it. You can override him, and you'll be miserable. But I'm telling you, when you humble yourself, that day that God humbled me down and had me to go there, I never knew I'd stand at his funeral today. What if, here's what God gave me today at the funeral. What if all I had to say was nothing? What? God humbles us in times in our life to prepare us for roads, things on down the road. You see, and I talked about how he showed me forgiveness that day. He taught me forgiveness and how truly forgiveness is forgiven. You see, I asked for forgiveness, but I couldn't get forgiveness if the man wouldn't give the forgiveness. That's the same way it is with Jesus Christ. When we humble ourselves and we say, Lord God, I need help. He says, okay, now we fix and do something. Now we fix and open up. Now the windows of heaven's opened up and you fix and get something, old boy, you can't handle. I don't know about you, but when God opens up and pours it on me, I like it, don't you? He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. So we've humbled ourselves. Now what I do? He said, if you'll humble yourself and pray. Now, here's the point. When we humble ourselves, that's one thing. But to pray, it just goes right on into another avenue in what God has called us to do. So tonight, I want you to understand this in this new 2022 that we're in. We've come to a place where we're humbling ourselves. Now we get to the place where we pray. And he said, this is going to be done in this house that has been, the temple that's been built by Solomon. He said, they're going to come in, they're going to humble themselves, and they're going to pray. When we come in here, what must we do? Humble ourselves. I must not think I'm better than anybody in this place. I must not. I must not think I'm better than anybody in this place. If I do think that, I'm not humble. If I think I require more than any other person in this place, I'm not humble. If a toilet is, and I use this all the time, if a toilet stopped up and I have to send you to go do it because I'm too good to do it, come on, I'm not humble. So first off, when I come in this place, I must be humble. But secondly, I must pray. You say, what will prayer do? I want to show you this in the text tonight. He says, humble thyself and pray. Look at this tonight. He said, humble thyself and pray. Prayer is a direct line to God for every believer. And tonight, if your prayers, you feel like they don't get no higher than the roof, humble yourself, then pray. It'll just do something in your life. It'll just do something in your life. Turn with me, if you will. Prayer is a direct line for a believer to God. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter number 5 and verse number 17 tonight. And this right here is these blessings when commands are kept. One, when we humble ourselves, but number two is when we pray. You say, preacher, how must I pray tonight? And I want to give you tonight four ways that we must pray to keep these blessings coming. And as we pray, when we humble ourselves. He says tonight in James chapter number 5 and verse number 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. James 5, 17 was subject to like passions as we are. As great as he was, he had the same passions you and I have. So how did he have all the power to pray? Because he stayed in a humble state. Look what he says. And he prayed earnestly. So tonight, I know tonight when I humble myself and I pray, I must earnestly pray that God will move. Earnestly pray that God will move. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. But look here in verse 18. But he prayed again. Not only should I earnestly pray, but I should pray expecting. Not only should I earnestly pray, but I should pray expecting. He's prayed that it wouldn't rain, and guess what? It ain't rained. But then it says, and he prayed again. When have you ever prayed for God to do something, and then you prayed for God to do something again? But it'd be totally different. Look what he prayed again. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I see tonight when I humble myself and I pray, number one, I must pray earnestly. Number two, I must pray expecting. But thirdly, I must pray effectually tonight. Look with me, if you will, in James 5, 16. You say, is my prayer really worth anything? Well, at the start of the sermon, I told you that the man said today that your prayer can do what you can't do and it can go where you can't go. That's true. And he says tonight in James chapter number 5 and verse 16, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, 15, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So what is that effectual prayer? It says, it's one that knows how to pray. It's one that knows what to pray. And it's a person that knows who to pray to. Ooh. Is that not good? Humble themselves and pray. Has somebody ever asked you to pray for them and you felt unworthy to pray? I have many a times. I have many a times. Just because I feel unworthy, should that keep me from praying? No. Because see, it ain't about me. It's about who I'm praying to. It's about getting into the throne room on someone else's behalf. He says tonight that if my people, when we come in, we shall humble ourselves and pray. The third command to be kept tonight is this, and seek my face and seek his face. You say, preacher, when should I seek his face? You should seek his face, and I should too, when doubt comes, when depression comes, when confusion comes, when chaos comes, you and I will need to seek his face. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 2. Matthew 11 and verse number 2. Humble thyselves, pray, and seek my face. Besides Jesus Christ, besides Jesus, one of the greatest men in the Bible is John the Baptist. Not my opinion. Scripture. Scripture says in Matthew chapter number 11, in verse number 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now that's not my opinion. That's the Bible says that. There's not one been risen greater than, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus says that born of a woman, John the Baptist was the greatest. But he said, hey, you born again, you just right there with him. And when I say that tonight is to seek his face, John the Baptist, as great as he was, seeing Jesus coming, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In Matthew chapter number 11, John the Baptist finds himself in prison. And he's done got to doubting. Is it really Jesus? Or do I need to look somewhere else? Is what I'm doing really worth it? Or do I need to look somewhere else? Folks, tonight I want to tell you, if you've been born again, Jesus Christ is all you need. You do not need to look nowhere else. Look what he says tonight, Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? That's John the Baptist. Preacher, what are you trying to tell us tonight? If he gets there, we're going to get there. If he gets discouraged, we're going to get discouraged. If he gets to doubting, we're going to get to doubting. So tonight, the keeps us from doubting is we stay humble, we keep praying, and we keep seeking his face. We keep seeking his face and doing what he has called us to do. In this text, it says in verse number 3, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them in verse number 4, go and show John again those things which you do and hear. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So the fourth command, what is it, preacher? The fourth command tonight is this, and that they turn from their wicked ways. To turn from one's wicked ways is this. To go in another direction. To go in a completely different direction that you was going. Can a saved person be going in the wrong direction? Amen? Yes. Will a saved person enjoy going in the wrong direction? No. The Bible says there's fun in sin for a season. But he won't enjoy it. He says when we come to this place, you say, what is that place? Right, where God is, where Jesus is. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Folks, this year that we're living in is a year of blessings. I believe that. I believe that tonight. I believe God's going to do a mighty work in this place. He's already done it, going to continue to do that work in our lives, in it and through our lives. And he's using you and he's using me as vessels to flow through. But tonight, the only way them blessings can continue to flow here at this church, in your home, in your families, in your workplaces, everywhere you go, the only way they're going to continue to flow and continue to go through is this way, is that vessel that he's using, and by the way, he uses people. You are the vessel. It's got to stay open. It's got to stay clean. That line of transportation that's flowing through you has got to stay open, and it's got to stay clean. And the only way it's going to be that way is by following them four commands that he puts on your life. Nothing hard. The Bible even says in Romans, I believe chapter number 1, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2 there, it said it's your reasonable service. Maybe in 12:1. It's your reasonable service to humble thyself. It's your reasonable service to do this. He ain't put nothing on us that we can't do tonight. So this week, if I can give you anything, is this. When you're tempted not to be easy to get along with, I get there, don't you? Just humble yourself. Just humble. I know I'm a good one to talk tonight. Just humble yourself. If you'll humble yourself, it won't be long. Prayer kick in. You'll start praying. You'll start seeking God's face. And you'll start turning from what you used to do. Adrian Rogers said something this morning that's so true. God made you and he knows you can't think but one thought at one time. You can't think 10 different thoughts at one time. He said 10 different things may go through your head, but you can't think on 10 different things. When you stop that thinking on that one thing, that mind goes to the next. But while you're thinking on that one thing, it will not go to the next. So tonight, if we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God tonight and let them blessings continue to flow in our life. If I asked in the room tonight to raise your hand if you wanted blessings, I don't know nobody that wouldn't raise their hand. Everybody in this room tonight would raise your hand and say, I want blessings. Everybody in this room tonight would say, I'd love to see my family come to know the Lord this new year. We want them blessings in our life, and I want them in my life. But I want to know when I pray that it makes it to heaven, don't you? I want to know when I pray that it's going where it needs to go. And the only way it'll do that in my life is that I stay humble and I stay praying and I stay seeking his face. And stay away from that wicked way. Stay away from that. Don't get nowhere near it. Stay it completely away as far as it can. Get it away from me. I promise you tonight when you do that, it'll work in your life. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray for Brother Brian.